Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah and Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
From the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field, Jaguars postgame final score, Raiders 33, Jaguars 16. The Raiders now 5-2. The Jags fall to 2-4. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. The offense with just a poor performance today, especially in the second half. The three straight three and outs after the field goal to open the second half. Another punt after that. Got a late touchdown. The defense did what they could do most of the game today, and then a lack of discipline when things unraveled at the end of this ball game.
This is really embarrassing. You know, I think they just have to go back and just take a deep look at themselves. Nothing went right. The frustration set in. Obviously, got two players ejected. I don't know. I would like to say you have to do more to give yourself an opportunity. But what is more, because they're not doing, in my opinion, they're not doing anything. I think the offense has regressed. I think they have to find a way to utilize Blake's full potential and abilities. And I think that, you know, getting him outside the pocket a little bit more, because the line isn't holding up. He can't drop back. The time isn't there. The timing is off. It's just a lot of bad that's going on. The one spotlight actually on the entire team is the defense. Yet, when they're game planned and the team's going to run, you know, 90%+ of your run plays left right at you, you have to do something to make those adjustments too. It's just a bad day for the entire group, the entire team.
Yeah, we said they needed to be more efficient, JP and Fred. You know, you open it up, you drive it down the field, and you're looking at no worse than a tie game, at least a very makeable field goal attempt for Jason Myers. And the one thing Blake Bortles can't do there is throw an interception. He throws into heavy coverage to Marquise Lee, gets that one picked off. And really, to me, forget the result of this game. It's bad. The worst thing is that your quarterback right now doesn't look like a shadow of what he was last year.
Right.
He's constantly thrown behind guys on quick little slants and crossers. And to me, again, as a layman looking at it, I think that delivery is taking too long to get rid of the football. Either that or he's not reacting the second he sees it. He's thrown behind guys. He just looks out of sorts there. And you couple that with the fact that they can't consistently get anything out of the running game right now. So teams don't have to fear the run whatsoever. And, you know, your top receiver had a bad day as well. Allen Robinson didn't help it out. But to me, it just really falls on the quarterback, Blake Bortles. And that's the biggest concern.
I agree with you. And it started early in the game, that interception. You know, and the one thing about when you watch film and watch tape throughout the week and prepare for other teams, the red zone doesn't change. You know, Jack's been running the same red zone's defense since he's been here. It's cover two. It's a two. And when the guy falls back on the fade route to the corner route to the corner, you have to either throw that ball up there. You can't throw it on the line because the interception is going to happen. And that's what happens. So Blake has to understand that when I watch film, I have to trust it. And I just don't think he's trusting himself. He's forcing some things.
How do you fix it? Keep playing, right?
You have to keep playing, but you have to trust what the tape is showing you throughout the week. And if nothing's there, you know, you're big and you're strong. He's extended other plays. You can make things happen. And worst case, be smart enough to just fling it way out. You know, don't try and force the issue.
As we all try to figure out what's going on in Blake's mind, I don't know if it's that he's not trusting the film guys or if he's not trusting himself. You know what I mean?
Or
I
both.
Just,
yeah.
And maybe a combination of the two,
too.
Right?
It's because the offensive line, you know, different bodies in there. And quarterbacks are going to look. They're going to look around. Man, if I don't trust this guy, I'll peek an extra look and I'll take my eyes off downfield and then I'm watching for what's going on around me. You just never know because it's all bad.
Head coach Gus Bradley coming up. We'll have the first word with the Jags head coach outside of the locker room. Jeff Lagerman is standing by, and we'll go there shortly. There will be plenty of questions this week. It's a short week going into this Thursday night game about the penalties at the end. the discipline, the two ejections, the fighting, Malik Jackson, the whole thing. There's got to be an answer for that somewhere. I think we're ready to go to the locker room now. Gus Bradley, and we'll get the answer to that. Gus Bradley with Jeff Flogerman. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, a lot of opportunity out there in this ballgame today against the Oakland Raiders at home with an opportunity to get back to 500, kind of get back in the division mix, and not the outcome I'm sure you were expecting.
No, it wasn't. I mean, here we have come into the game 2-0 on a roll, good momentum coming our way, back at home, and to get caught up in all of it, not played our capabilities. We lost our poise at times at the field, and it came back and affected us. Guys tried to press, make some plays when we were down, and that's not how it works. You just got to really stay true to who we are. And, you know, that's an unbelievable lesson for our team, but not the outcome we wanted.
Offense continues to struggle. Blake Bortles continues to struggle. How do you get the offense back on track?
Well, we just take a look at it. You know, we'll go back and, you know, every week we analyze it, see the things that we're doing well, see the things that we're not, and take a look at it. And it comes back to when you have opportunities to make plays, players got to make them. We got to coach them up better. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things. So we just need to go back to work. And, you know, we had a great talk in there in the locker room today, tonight. And, you know, all of us got to take ownership on it.
You talk about the losing the poise part, a couple of players ejected. What do you say to those players?
Well, no matter what happens out on the field, no matter what, you can't overreact. And it's about poise. And it doesn't matter how it comes about. We got to be the bigger person and hold our temper and not put our team in harm's way and end up putting us in backed up situations multiple times.
And not a whole lot of time to dwell on it. You got a game coming up Thursday in Nashville.
Well, that's the good thing. You know, we got to get back to work, and that's what we need to do. Get back tomorrow and, you know, prepare for Tennessee because you're right, it is a short week.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
There's Gus Bradley outside of the Jaguars locker room after the Jags fall to the Oakland Raiders. We'll come back. Jeff Flogerman inside, more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as well. The final score, 33-16, Raiders over the Jaguars. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. 33-16, the final, Raiders over the Jaguars. Inside the locker room, Jeff Flogerman has Blake Bortles. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Blake, a lot of opportunity in this ballgame today. Opportunity to get back to 500, get back in the division mix, and not the performance you guys were certainly expecting.
Yeah, no, it was bad, you know, offensively. You know, I thought we had some good drives here and there. And again, turnovers and self-inflicted wounds set us back. You know, so we got to continue to try and find ways to eliminate them. You know, kind of stay together, become closer as a team, and solve problems.
End of that ball game, couple of ejections. Malik gets ejected. Jalen gets ejected for fighting. And it just doesn't look good as a football team, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah, we got to do a better job in here. Of holding each other accountable, and it's such a practice. It starts with holding each other accountable at practice in the meeting room, doing things right, and it's on us to kind of raise that standard and raise the expectations of, you know, how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to play.
For you guys on offense, what's it going to take to find that rhythm to where, you know, drive in and drive out, you feel like you're a threat?
Yeah, you know, we're going to have to continue to work. We've played six games now and have played nowhere near as good as we're capable of playing offensively, which is frustrating. But, you know, it's time to go back to work. It's a short week, Thursday night game, a divisional game, and a chance to go 2-0, start 2-0 in the division. So we'll get it fixed hopefully this week.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Thanks.
Blake Bortles in the locker room there. You know, we go back to something Gus Bradley said at his interview earlier. Stay true to who we are. Well, the question is, who are the Jaguars right now?
They lack identity. The run game is in existence. Every week is something different. I guess I would say it that way. They started out well, 96 yards before the half running the ball, and then that completely vanished. That disappeared. The defense started off well. That disappeared. But every single week, it's just a group of just guys just that are out there. No one's really stepping up, making any real plays in crunch time, in crunch situations. I don't know who they are. I'm searching now. I'm just trying to find something.
Right.
It's not an identity. If a lot of times you have teams that strike fear into other teams, you know what you're going to get when you go into that game. We have to prepare for X, Y, and Z. You know, when you play the Jags, I don't think anyone is saying that. They're saying, hey, Let's run left the whole game. You know, that's what we're going to do. Let's pick on Amukamara the whole game. That's what we're going to do. But the coaches have to also find a better way to help the guys out too, I think.
Yeah, I think none of us can figure out who they are right now, but I'm curious as to how they see what they are, right? Like, what does Gus Bradley envision of what, if they play up to their ideal, what does that look like? You know, are they a team that wants to set the tone with the running game, which they talked about? Well, I think the backs combined only had 11 carries, Fred, like you're talking about. They had some success in the first half, in the big run by Ivory, but that was kind of the one that stood out, and then you had Blake with a couple of runs himself. So the tailbacks, other than that 142-yard run, really couldn't get anything going. Who do they see themselves as, I think, is the big question.
Yeah, they've got a couple of days to figure it out before Thursday. Let's go back to the locker room now. Jeff Lagerman has, I believe, Alan Hearns. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Alan, offense, hard time finding its rhythm. What's it going to take to where this offense gets back to reaching its capability, the expectations that you guys even had on yourself?
We got to find a rhythm, you know, whether if it's, you know, getting a running game going or getting quick passes going, you know, no matter what it is, you know, this season we haven't found a rhythm yet. You know, prior to this game, we won our last two games, but on offense, it just didn't feel right, you know, far as playing to our standards, you know, moving the ball and scoring touchdowns, but we have to find something to get going.
The expectation in this game and the possible outcome, getting back to 500, getting back into the division mix, and you weren't able to do that. And at points in this ball game, at the end, it kind of got a little bit ugly. A couple of ejections. I'm sure that it's not something that you guys are proud of as a team for a game like today.
No, not at all. You know, it's not our standard of ball all around. You know, it is very frustrating, you know, just to see, you know, what this team capable of when we're not playing to our standards. You know, it's frustrating as hell, but you know, the main thing for us, you know, we just got to stay the course no matter what it is. You know, guys, we can't get kicked out of the game. You know, I know everyone's frustrated, you know, I'm frustrated, and I know that's for everybody else, but you know, we got to control what we can. You know, we can't go out there reaching for, try to do things out of our ordinary, you know, for us. So we just got to stay the course, man, and everybody got to stay true.
Your quarterback struggling. What do you do to support him and getting him kind of back into his rhythm?
You know, I always talk to him and let him know I'm with him no matter what. You know, as far as, you know, me being a receiver, anytime the ball in my area, you know, I'm trying to find a way to come down with it. You know, even if it's a tough catch, you know, a ball out of my range, you know, I go to him like, okay, I should have had that one, or next time I'll bring that one down. You know, even last week, you know, I had some tough catches, you know, that I could have hauled in. And I just let him know, like, that's not on him. You know, if the ball in my area, you know, I'm going to try my best to bring the ball down.
What's said amongst players in the locker room after a game like this with some of the moments where the composure was lost?
Right now, you know, there's not much talking at all. You know, I think everyone's frustrated, you know, and especially a game like this, you know, I really don't know what happened out there. You know, you just look at it and you look back at it and you try to ask yourself what happened. You don't have the answers right now. But, you know, Mercedes, he got up and spoke to the team, you know, just tell guys that we can't lose our composure. You know, everyone's frustrated. But at the end of the day, you know, we can't have self-inflicted wounds, you know, as a team. You know, when things are already not going good for us, you know, we can't keep adding on.
All right, thank you, Alan.
No problem.
Jeff Lagerman with Alan Hearns in the Jaguars locker room. The Jags fall 33-16. We'll come back. Lightning fast questions for Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Raiders win it. They're 5-2. The Jags fall to 2-4. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Well, it was far from awesome today at Everbank Field. 33-16, the final. The Raiders improved to 5-2. Jack Del Rio gets the win in his return to Jacksonville as a head coach for the Raiders. The Jags fall to 2-4 on a day where they could have gained a little ground, or at least a better standing in the AFC South with the Colts win a little earlier today. All that, though, is gone now. The Jags are trying to find some answers, and we're going to find some answers from Fred Taylor because it's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Freddie T, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, where does the quarterback start?
I start in the film room. He has to watch the film, trust and believe what the coaches are telling him, Then when he's out there on the field, he has to do what he practiced the entire week and not force issues by trying to make plays.
Fred, number two, the lack of discipline showed up today. Penalties, fighting, which led to more penalties. Mm-hmm. Is this a sign of a team that's kind of on the brink of falling apart a little bit?
It seems that way. It seems that way. But, again, they're preaching stay the course. No frustration, stay the course. And that's what they're going to have to do if they stand a chance to get back on track.
Finally, is this a good week for a Thursday night game? A quick turnaround to not dwell on this thing.
You want to get rid of this one as fast as possible. So I think that'll be the – usually when you lose, getting back on the field is the one thing that helps make you forget about everything else. So, yeah, I think Thursday night is perfect.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for Freddie T. You know, back to the quarterback thing. The film room was one thing. The mechanics of playing quarterback are quite another. And I'm not an expert. Mike's not. Fred, you played running back. But mechanically, what do you think of Blake?
You know, what I think is what's going on is, again, there's no trust. I don't know if he trusts his O-line. Because when you're out there on the field, there's this internal clock, this timer. Even when I'm running the ball, I kind of sense that the pursuit is coming. And I think at the quarterback position, you know, you take your five-step, seven-step drop, whatever it may be, then something's going off in your head. If the guys aren't open downfield or if the play hadn't developed, then you're kind of looking around. And this is me trying to be as nice as I can and not just throw Blake under the bus. But his mechanics have to improve. His accuracy hasn't been there. But I do believe that you give him a chance if you don't just drop him back so much. You know, I don't want to question Olsen, but I would definitely try and utilize his full potential by getting him out of the pocket a little bit more. The first play to start the second half was a rollout, ended up being Hearnsey's first catch for the game. But it was successful, and then we didn't go back to it.
And he delivered it in rhythm,
in
that
rhythm,
play, right? And that
rhythm
was the whole thing. It just no time to think. Just he had plenty of time. Nobody, the pressure wasn't there because he was outside the pocket. Fred, how do you learn to trust your O-line? The personnel's not going to change, right?
I mean,
it's not going to – maybe they could block better, but until they prove that to you, how can you go into a game based on what you've seen if you don't trust it, even if you don't recognize that that's what's going on? How do you trust guys that aren't giving you the best protection?
Well, I'm pretty sure that – well, Blake is the quarterback of this team. And what he says goes pre-snap or whatever is what the player should do. And that's the first thing you learn in New England with Tom. Whatever – I don't care what we call. Tom is out there running the show. This is what – we have to be on the same page as the quarterback. So, in my opinion, if the coaches aren't going to tell the running backs, hey, chip out, you know, on your release to help the offensive line, give us a few more seconds or a tenth of a second to allow this play to develop. If I'm the quarterback, I'm saying, hey, help the guy over there. You know, he's kind of hurting a little bit. We're going to need a little bit more time. So you help him on your release. And as a running back, I got to listen to my quarterback. So Blake has to just find a way that sort of force the issue so he can be comfortable. You know, at least in my mind, if I'm the quarterback and I'm telling you, Mike, hey, help out right here, I'm going to believe that you're going to help him. Two is better than one, and now I might have that time I need to get it down the field or wherever I need to be. Because if these guys aren't going to hold up and block, then the trust is always out the window. Got to try something.
Yeah.
The coaches aren't going to get upset if it works.
No.
And the running backs are always secondary. They're never really the primary targets unless you're a free release. So, that's what I would have tried.
Well, they got a couple days to get something going before the Thursday night game against the Tennessee Titans. We'll come back with a Bud Light play of the game a little later. A final Everbank stats check. The final score, 33-16. Raiders over the Jaguars in Week 7. And it's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. The Raiders over the Jags in Week 7, 33-16. The final score. Let's get to the highlights from today's game, and we'll find a Bud Light play of the game as well. The Raiders started the scoring today with a Janikowski field goal. The Jags drive down 9 plays, 39 yards. Blake Bortles facing a third down, throws into the end zone.
3rd and 7 from the Oakland 18-yard line, 4:46 to play in the first. Raiders lead it 3-0. Empty backfield for the first time for Bortles. He faces a 4-man front from the Raiders. Dropping the throw is Blake. Looking. Pump fake. Now throws it to the corner of the end zone. What's Marquise Lee? Leaping attempt. And I think that ball is going to be picked off in the end zone. Yes, it is. He threw it to the corner of the end zone. He wanted Marquise Lee, but the Raiders have picked it off in the corner of the end zone. They turned the Jaguars away.
Costly interception for the Jags, but the Raiders would punt off of that possession. The Jags with another turnover, though, this time a muffed punt.
Now Marquette King will kick it away again. Rashad Green waits at his 10-yard line. King kicks it to Wobbler. Green fumbled the ball. Tried to catch it on the run, fumbled it, and the Raiders are going to have it. Rashad Green tried to catch it on the run, bobbled it, and the Raiders are going to recover it inside the 20-yard line of Jacksonville.
Jags defense, though, holds. Janikowski gets a 32-yard field goal, 6-0 Oakland. The Jags answer with a Myers field goal of 23 yards, 6-3 for the next Oakland drive. 11 plays, 75 yards, most of those yards on the ground. Murray is back, and he scores.
Three tight ends set now. Olawale the fullback, Murray the tailback. On second and goal from the two. They hand it to Murray. Tries to bounce it outside, cuts it back in the middle, reaches for the end zone. That's a touchdown. He stretched the ball over the goal line as he was being tackled. Touchdown, Oakland Raiders.
13-3 the score. Jags get a field goal, got it to 13-6. Carr hit Crabtree on a 2-yard touchdown before the half. That included a 56-yard catch for Crabtree on that drive. So a 20-6 halftime score. And then in the second half, the Jags offense couldn't get anything going. They got a field goal on the opening drive, but then three consecutive three and outs that netted a total of negative 4 yards combined on those drives. Then another punt. Janikowski had a couple field goals in that span. The Jags finally got in the end zone late in the game. Bortles to Thomas from 9 yards away. This is the Bud Light play of the game.
26-9, Oakland leads it. Dropping is Blake. Pump fake right, looks left, goes to the back of the end zone, and that ball is caught for the touchdown by Julius Thomas. There are flags down, but Julius made the catch for the score in the back of the end zone. He took it away from a defender.
Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Well, the Jags defense, down by 10 at that point, 26-16, had a chance to get Oakland off the field. They had a punting situation, bad snap, but it all went wrong for the Jags.
Rashad Green waits inside the 15-yard line. There's still 3:43 to play, so you've got some time on the clock now. King waits inside his 25. This bad snap. He's going to try to run it now. He's got all the room in the world to the 40, to the 45, to the 50. Jaguar territory. He's going to make a first down. Are you kidding me? Marquette King short hopped a snap, couldn't get the punt off, ran around the right end.
He ran for 27 yards with 3:42 to play. That continued the drive. Jack Del Rio went for the jugular after that. Murray with his second touchdown ended it.
First down, Oakland at the 9-yard line of Jacksonville with 2:40 to play, leading 26-16, and the Jags are out of timeouts. The handoff to Latavius Murray. Picks his way inside the five, dives into the end zone, touchdown.
33-16. A couple of ejections in that span as well. Ramsey, Malik Jackson in the fourth quarter there. And the Jags fall to a record of 2-4. While the Raiders, in first place in the AFC West, improved to 5-2. We'll come back more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. And we'll get an Everbank stats check coming up as well. Final score, 33-16 Raiders. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score, 33-16. The Raiders are now 5-2. The Jags are 2-4. They'll turn around with a quick game Thursday night in Nashville against the division rival Tennessee Titans. Another former Jags head coach, by the way, on the docket, Mike Mularkey, awaiting in Nashville Thursday night. It's time for an Everbank final stats check. Let's start with the team stats. And, you know, the stats are not going to tell truly the story of this game. But first downs, Oakland led the way 21-19. The Jags struggled on third down again, 4 of 13 offensively. Oakland, 8 of 18. Total net yardage, in fact, exactly the same, 344 for both sides. Rushing yardage, 105 for the Jags, including that long run for Ivory. And 144 on the ground today for Oakland. The penalties are back. Oakland 11 of 17 yards, which they're the Oakland Raiders. That's what you kind of expect. The Jags 13 for 122 yards, which the first three, four games of the season is kind of what you expect from the Jags. But today they were penalties that you just can't have, those costly unsportsmanlike conducts towards the end. Two ejections today. Turnovers. Three turnovers for the Jags, none for the Raiders. Yeah, the Jags had two and didn't get any last week, but they still won that ball game somehow by losing the turnover battle. But you lose three, and it's hard to get anything done at all. Time of possession, Oakland 33 minutes and change compared to 26 and change for the Jags. And it's not going to get much prettier on the individual side, I'm sure.
No, it's honestly, it's not as bad as you think, considering the final score. But like you said, JP, it doesn't tell the tale. Blake Bortles, 23 out of 43 for 246 yards and a touchdown. However, it's the two interceptions that stand out, particularly the first one when they had a chance to get a score on the board early. Derek Carr also completed 23 passes, and on 37 attempts, he wasn't much more efficient, but certainly looked that way. 200 yards passing on the nose and one touchdown, but the key was he did not turn the football over. Latavius Murray took him 18 carries to get 59 yards, but he was able to score a couple of touchdowns for the Jags. Chris Ivory, five carries for 48 yards, but 42 of those came on one play. Blake Bortles, the second leading rusher, with five for 33. And then T.J. Yeldon had six carries for 24 yards. So he only gave it to your running backs 11 times on a day where you're facing a defense that was giving up 4.8 yards per carry. Mm. Marquise Lee ended up the leading receiver in the game, seven grabs for 107 yards. Michael Crabtree on the other side caught eight for 96, as they clearly were throwing away from Jalen Ramsey throughout this game. He had the long of 56, which set up a touchdown. He caught the lone touchdown from Derek Carr in this contest. Julius Thomas caught a touchdown pass from Blake Bortles there on a heck of a grab. Three for 20 for him. A lot of tackle opportunities to go around for the Jags. Jonathan Cyprian had 11 solos on the day. Paul Posluszny had eight total tackles with seven solos. Prince Amukamara, who I don't know if you'd say picked on, but the result of going away from Ramsey, where a lot of balls coming to Crabtree, who Amukamara was covering today, and he had seven tackles himself.
He was definitely picked on. I mean, smart coaches, you're not going to throw at Ramsey.
I agree.
He's a young kid who's playing great ball. And Amukamara, you got to prove yourself.
What do you think, Fred? The 56-yarder to Crabtree, I thought Amukamara was in pretty good position. I thought that was one of those you just kind of say, wow, that's
a
heck of a spot that you put that ball
absolutely
in for Derek
Carr. All of that. And again, in the NFL, the one thing they tell you all is you got to make the play.
Right.
If you're in position, you got to find a way to make the play. So it's a 50-50 ball, really, when it's up there like that. But it was a big third down. And that's what, you know, is demoralizing, deflating. It's a third down. But, you know, when you go as a coach, you look at my matchups. And Crabtree versus Amukamara, I'm going to take that all day. You know, regardless of how good Amari Cooper is, I think the percentages are better or more in our favor if we don't throw at Ramsey.
Oh, I agree.
The other way.
You said that they were averaging giving up 4.8 yards per carry or something.
Yes,
Raiders defense.
The Raiders were.
So Fred, if they can't run today, when are they going to run?
Can I just stare at you?
You just did. I just got a mean stare from.
They were giving up almost 450 yards a game, right? Total.
Yeah, they were last in the league. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, in 30th against the rush. These are the games, and as I said before in the pregame, you lick your chops for these moments. You know, and the coaches, you have to, you know, find ways to not beat yourself. I had some consistency, some rhythm. You know, this play sets up this play, vice versa. The run game, the average per carry looks great, but it wasn't any consistency in terms of setting up other plays and vice versa to help yourself. I can search all day. If it's not, you know, if you're not going to outscore the other opponent or have that W in the win column at the end of the game, it's just all hot air. I'm not on the field. You know, I'm not calling the tough plays and any of that stuff. I'm just sitting here just trying to, you know, analyze the game the best I can and give my opinion, having played for a while. But, yeah, you find this play sets up that play, you know, and you sort of strategize that way. And just trying to minimize the chances, the positions you put yourself in that might cause you to lose the game. If you gotta punt it away. Run, see if something breaks,
right.
Punt the ball away.
Right.
You know, and play great defense, which they
did for a lot of the game today. Yeah.
Even if they're playing bend, don't break, give up three. Just keep punching away at it.
So we'll see what happens. There you go with the EverBank final stats check. PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI, visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. We'll pick a player of the game coming up. The injury report still to come as well. 33-16 is the final. The Raiders over the Jags in Week 7. Jaguars postgame continues after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. 33-16 the final. The Raiders now 5-2 with a win over the Jags, who fall to 2-4. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. It is time now to pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. And here's how the voting works. I get a vote. Mike Dempsey, you get a vote as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Fred Taylor, you get a vote and a half, considering you're on the wall, to break any ties. So I'm going to go first tonight, just because.
Why not? Someone has to.
Marquise Lee was targeted 8 times in this game, made 7 catches, 107 yards. And as the weeks have gone on here, his production has increased. And don't forget the kick return game for him today. He had 2 nice kickoff returns in this game. So Marquise Lee, in a losing effort today, 7 for 107, 2 nice kickoff returns. He's my candidate, at least, my guy.
Statistically, I'm not going to argue with you, but the one thing that held me back from Marquise Lee getting it, he got one of those unsportsmanlike penalties, put him in a bad situation, right? Backed him up 15 yards.
Good point.
You know? And so, while statistically, offensively, he was the standout guy, I'm going to go with Jason Myers here, right? A guy who, on all his kickoffs, resulted in touchbacks today. They didn't get a single return off of him. He was 3 for 3 on field goals, made his extra point, 44-yard long, and none of them were ever in any kind of doubt. So I think Myers had a very solid day. I'm going to go with him.
Fred?
2 good picks. 2 great picks. But I had in my head, I was thinking the same thing as JP, you know, prior to hearing
it's
your assessment
good.
Of
it's
Myers.
It's all good.
No, I like it. I love it because it's all true. Marquise, he seems like he's coming to his own. You know, this is the reason the team stuck with him and could sort of waited around through the injuries. Each and every week, his targets have gone up. In the last 3 weeks, he's been a lot more productive than he's been the previous 2 years. So my vote would be with Marquise.
Let me say, had JP for some reason gone with Jason Myers, I would have gone with Marquise. I didn't want it to be 2-0 with Fred's vote not counting. So
why not? Why can't we shut out Fred one?
We could, I suppose, on occasion.
You got
a little drama built into it.
First more often.
Maybe.
Then
maybe we'll outvote.
Maybe
we'll come back on it.
We'll come from behind victory there.
Marquise played very well, though. Other than that, you know, moment where he let his temper, whatever, get the best of him. He is becoming more of a focal point on a team, Fred, that is not finding anything in the deep passing game. So his underneath routes right now are very crucial to them moving the sticks.
Right. And again, teams study and they evaluate, and they know how much of a threat Allen Robinson is, as well as Hearns. You know, so if they're going to double those guys, pick certain defenses and double those guys, certain plays, then Marquise is going to have to be the guy that's got to make the play. And he's showing that he can be that guy.
There you have it. Marquise Lee, 8 targets, 7 catches, 107 yards receiving today in a losing effort, but he had a couple of longer kickoff returns as well. He is the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. We're back with the injury report. More thoughts from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as well after the Raiders knock off the Jags 33-16. Jaguars postgame continues after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues 33-16, the final. The Raiders over the Jaguars in Week 7. Raiders are first place in the AFC West, 5-2 record. The Jags now 2-4 in the AFC South. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A few notables today. Roy Miller, right Achilles injury, left the game. Have not seen any reporting on the severity of that injury, but if he didn't return, you could imagine. Colvin with a left toe injury, not sure of his status. And Derek Marks, Rick Ballew reported on the sideline, was limping, favoring his right knee or lower leg. There was no official word from the team on that. But the Roy Miller news, not good. I'm not sure exactly how bad it is, but when you leave the game like that, you're one of your big run stoppers up front. You don't want that from your nose tackle.
We talked about him in the pregame. JP is a guy, you know, plays a position that you're not going to pile up any kind of significant statistics very often, but I think everybody in that locker room knows how valuable Roy Miller, Fred, is to this football team. He's a professional. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great run stuffer. Occasionally gets some penetration in the backfield, but he's a guy you can count on to occupy a couple of blockers for you and free up those other guys to hopefully make some plays.
Yeah, he's the anchor. It starts with, you know, right there over the center. You want to be able to control that if you're going to play the style of defense that they're playing. Hopefully it's nothing extremely serious. They'll get him back hopefully at some point. But they have some depth, too. I like the other guys in there.
Avery Jones, pretty good ball player.
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, so there you have it, the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. One more timeout. We'll wrap it up and preview Thursday night's game against the Tennessee Titans when we return on Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Imagine turning on a shower and getting an endless supply of hot water almost immediately.
As soon as this heats up, whoa, hello.
With the smart recirculation technology of the new Rinnai Ultra Series tankless water heaters, Rinnai brings you faster hot water in showers, sinks, and other home appliances.
That was fast.
That was fast.
Rinnai tankless water heaters give you an endless supply of hot water faster, plus big savings on water and gas, which leaves only one question. Why wait any longer? To learn more, visit us at rinnai.us. That's rinnai.us.
Hey, Jags fans, is your bank guaranteeing high yields on your money? At EverBank, our yield pledge promise guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields available. And that promise is yours when you open a yield pledge checking or yield pledge money market account. So we do the work while your money gets the glory. It's your money. Make the most of it. Visit a local EverBank Financial Center or find us online at everbank.com/Jags. EverBank is proud to be the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars. EverBank, member FDIC.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings, much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
This portion of Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, and by EverBank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. If you're in Jacksonville on our flagship station, coming up, the scoreboard show and your calls regarding this Raiders-Jaguars game today. 33-16, the final score. The Raiders a winner. So a short week. Good timing for a short week. Get it out of your mind and get ready to go up to Nashville. The first time in a long time that the Jags have had a road primetime game. They've had these Thursday night games at home over recent years. But this Thursday night in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans, your favorite, Fred.
I'm looking forward to a good matchup. I think the Titans are a better team than the Raiders. I mean, they're going to run the ball, and we got to be able to stop the run. Today wasn't pretty. They're going to definitely run the ball. And their defense, I think their defense can really get after it. So we got to find a way to erase this game, go up there to play, because if not, if you walk in there slow motion, the Titans, I think, will jump over them, jump on them.
They scored today on a tackle-eligible screen
they
pass,
did.
By the way.
It all counts.
It does. Let's make it happen.
Is there a stronger term than must win? Do we know a stronger term than must win? Because, I mean, this is now you're at the point where if you want to have any semblance of hope, you have to go in and win this game. You have to go 2-0 in the division. Still may not be enough. I feel like we're already in 2015 mode, scoreboard watching, hoping that the AFC South continues to collapse around the Jaguars, and that's what's going to keep them relevant right now, Fred, because I can't envision the way they're playing going on an extended winning streak. They've got to go into Tennessee, win that game, get to 3-4 without question. If they lose that game, I think any realistic hope of sticking around in the AFC South race is out the window.
Yeah, they have to control what they can control. And it starts with, you know, playing your butt off, getting out there, try to come back with the win. You know, they can't worry about what other teams in the division are doing. When they get their division opponents, you have an opportunity to go out there and control your own destiny is what they have to do. But they have to play really well. Blake has to step it up in that environment because it's going to be crazy over there in Tennessee. And the Titans know what they're playing for. They let one slip away today in the last few seconds of the game. Otherwise, they would be pretty much in the driver's seat.
They would be.
Of the South. Hoping the guys go up there and bring back home the W.
Got to have it, Fred. Well done. We'll talk to you this week game Thursday night. How about that?
That's right. Make it happen.
Well done, Fred Taylor.
Mike.
Freddie, hey. Good to see you, buddy.
We'll see you next week, Fred.
Yes, sir.
For everybody in Jacksonville, the Scoreboard Show is next. The Jaguars' Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tyler Devitt and Linda Fortunato are the producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score, Raiders 33, Jaguars 16. This has been Jaguars Postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
The Scoreboard Show. Here we go. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number to get in. We'll take your calls about the next 45 minutes or so before the fifth quarter. They'll begin about 6:15 or so. We'll carry you until then and get your thoughts, and I'm sure there are many, about this Raiders 33-16 win over the Jaguars to drop the Jags to 2-4. The offense will be a topic, the play of the quarterback, discipline or lack thereof at the end of the game, the meltdown, and what happens from here. I'm sure all that will be on the table tonight.
Absolutely. For me, it's what do you do offensively moving forward, right? Nothing. It's not like you're running it well and the quarterback's not playing well. Hey, we can lean on the running game till he comes around.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, that deep passing game like last year is out there. Even if we're not running it, we know Blake is slinging it to his guys on the outside. There's nothing anywhere close to consistently working right now. And as Fred Taylor talked about, JP, during the post game there, I think that results in players trying to do more than what their responsibility is. You hear Gus say, do your job. What that means is not just do your job, but don't try to do someone else's job, right? Trust that your teammates are going to handle their own responsibilities. I think what happens is this team starts pressing, get behind. I feel like I have to make the play. I think we saw that with Rashad Greene today, catching a punt at the one-yard line. You know, he's been around long enough. You don't have to be a 10-year vet to make a play, to know that ball's got to if it backs up and checks up at the one, that's one thing. Let that thing fly into the end zone or at least give it a chance to. I think that's what we're seeing it manifest itself. And the defense is getting frustrated, as we saw. I think it was a bad call on Malik Jackson on the roughing the passer.
I agree.
You can't exacerbate that with a second 15-yard penalty on top of that, which led to putting him in a position where he got thrown out after Janikowski's 52-yarder, because he's still harboring that, you know, that resentment towards the referees, and he let that show. So, you know, and then it just kind of devolved from there. You're getting fights breaking out all over the field and, total lack of discipline. I wish there was just one thing that you could look at offensively, because I think the defense is getting worn down. They're hanging in there.
Yeah.
They're keeping them in games. And when the offense can't do their part, I think ultimately that defense starts to wear down.
And think about all the games before this week. Yeah, the one blowout loss in San Diego, throw that one away. But the rest of them, there were plays late in games and situations where the Jaguars defense was again out on the field and again kind of backed up against it. Either held him for a field goal or got him off the field with a chance for the offense to go back down and do something, either tie or take the lead or whatever. And the offense has not been able to do that this year. And this was a situation where it just got a little too far. They asked a little too much of them, I think, today. They did it early in the game and throughout most of the game today, but towards the end they just couldn't hold him anymore.
Well, another goose egg in the first quarter, and that's been a big issue, right? The very few touchdowns in Blake Bortles' tenure as a starting quarterback, even when he threw 35 last year, there just weren't many first quarter touchdown drives, and here you are again. And we said it in the room, JP, It was 3-0. You've got third down at the 18-yard line. I said it out loud. The only thing you can't do here is turn it over. I'm sure a lot of people were thinking that at that point in time, because at the worst, okay, you've moved the ball. Go ahead and kick the field goal. You're tied up. Your defense has been playing okay. And you throw that ball. You force a ball to Marquise Lee that you didn't have to in that circumstance. It's one thing if it's the fourth quarter and you're down. It's fourth down. You're down by a couple of scores. That early in the game, you cannot just take the wind out of your entire team's sails for the second week in a row.
It wasn't as much of a I'm not going to say this correctly, the wind taking away scenario as it was last week with the Bears.
No, because
they moved the ball
line
a little bit and they had a couple field goals, but then
it's a little deja vu, right? It's like, oh, my gosh, here we go again, right? I mean, we're down here.
That was an epic one last week.
No question about it. But, look, the quarterback is not playing well. When we know how – we say it all the time. Quarterback's the most important position player in American team sports, and when he's not playing well or up to his ability – then you're going to have problems. You're going to have the other units playing exceptionally well. I don't think the defense is playing at that kind of level where they can carry an offense that you just don't know what you're going to get out of it drive to drive.
We'll come back. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the number to get in on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Far from exceptional today for the Jags, 33-16 the final. The Raiders are in first place in the AFC West. They're 5-2 now. They rebounded from their loss last week to the division rival Chiefs. The Jags fall to 2-4, and they've got a short week to go into Nashville, Music City, USA, Thursday night to face the Tennessee Titans and former head man Mike Mularkey and the exotic Smash Mouth scheme.
I like what Marcus Pollard told us in the pregame. That Nashville's got a pretty good country music scene. Is that right, Marcus?
Thanks for the tip.
Didn't realize that. All right, let's get out to the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, and we'll start on the north side with Bernard up first. Bernard, welcome to the Scoreboard Show. What can we do for you?
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed your show. I normally don't call this show, but I have two questions for you. You're honest with you. I'm being very cynical and very critical. What is the hardest job in the Jaguars organization? You know what that is?
Tell us.
Marketing. Because you keep putting a product on that field that you put on today, it's going to be very difficult to market that team. The second question is this. Easter normally comes in the springtime, right?
Yes.
Like every year. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the egg they laid today, the only difference is the Easter eggs are colored. You know, and I protect my team, and I protect my team against all cynics with the group that I run in. But today, I really can't protect them too much. And I'm starting to question the quarterbacking situation. I'm really starting to question the offensive coordinator. You know, this is quite embarrassing, basically. I mean, I left church early, and I went out there to sit down there and look at this, and I'm like, come on, man. Are we serious? Are we serious? I must admit, Marquise Lee is showing up a little bit better than I thought he would, and I'm glad to see him. But there's something wrong, and it's got to be wrong internally.
All right, hey, Bernard, we appreciate it. I think those are all fair criticisms.
It's been a tough job for marketing the last few years. I mean, because it's been a struggle to rebuild this roster.
But you know what? You've been able to sell the future, hope of the future.
Absolutely.
Right?
But the future's supposed to be here.
And that's the problem, right? The future's supposed to be now. You're supposed to have an evolving, dynamic offense that you figured would take a step forward this year. If you could add some run game to what they had in the passing game last year, the defense has improved. I think the overall talent level has improved, JP, and that's why it is more of a disappointment, I think, right now than it's been maybe at most any point it's been in the Gus Bradley tenure, because you have better expectations or more expectations. You're right about that. And look, it's, you know, I'm not hoping Jag fans become cynical, but I can understand. You sit there and say, wow, when is it going to get better? I think questioning the quarterback play is certainly fair. Every aspect is open to question right now. Yeah. It's not like the defense is the 2001 Baltimore Ravens or the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, right? I mean, they're playing well, but some of that's relative to how poorly the offense is playing as well.
If the offense plays better, they're probably playing better on the other side.
Well, right? Yeah, probably so. Yeah. You know, and look, I hear the frustration, and I'm not going to tell you, you know, why would you not feel that way? I think every Jaguar fan is extremely frustrated right now.
I was going to say mascot is the hardest job.
You think so?
Yeah.
They do a lot of bungee jumping and
all
things
that
like
stuff.
That.
Yeah.
That may be, right? But putting on the
they're
suit,
in the marketing group. I could run.
I could put the suit on. It wouldn't fit me. But if I fit in the suit, I could run around in it and wave to the crowd. I wouldn't be that difficult. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get Nat all the way out in Fort Worth, Texas, calling in right now on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Nat.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Grew up in Jacksonville, so a little disappointed to see the hometown team go down like that today. Have a lot of concerns from third down efficiency to red zone efficiency to penalties to Gus Bradley. But the reason I'm calling in is the biggest concern is Bortles not passing the eye test. And I was wondering if you guys could talk to that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
We've talked about it in here, and we're not mechanics experts.
Right.
None of us are.
But as a layman, watching the game, it doesn't look right.
Look right at all, and we've talked about this before. It just doesn't look anything close to last year.
No.
The release, the where it's going out of his hand.
It's something different almost every snap. Or sometimes it's compounded. Sometimes there are multiple things. But in the first half, I noticed there were a lot of times he wasn't squaring his shoulders up, right? He was moving left and maybe didn't have time to get back square to the line, and he's throwing with his body out of position. He's sailing footballs. He's throwing behind receivers constantly, particularly on these crossing
routes. The one towards the end of the game was not great.
Oh, threw it behind Allen Hurns on a simple cross right over the middle.
Would have been a first down, yeah.
I mean, things like that, the way the ball's coming out of his hands, as Fred pointed out, a pass where you can't throw that on a line, you got to throw that on an arc. They're just a myriad of problems going on with Blake right now. And you're right. If you're looking at the eyeball test, the numbers that he put up in the last few weeks really just kind of disguise how poorly I think he's playing. I'm not trying to bury Blake. I wish Blake come out and throw 40 touchdowns this year, and maybe cut it down to about 10 picks. That'd be phenomenal. And carry this team to victory every week. But it's not happening right now, and I think everybody can see that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, there are going to be fans that are going to say, hey, the clock's ticking on the quarterback here.
Look, the clock ticks in the National Football League and pro sports on everybody.
At what point does the clock really start ticking on him? That's the question.
I think the clock is ticking. At what point does the buzzer go off, right? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think Chad Henne's the answer to this team because he's not the future of the position. As some people on social media today are clamoring for Brandon Allen. They're just clamoring for something different, right? And I get that. But I don't think the Jags – my guess is the organization's not anywhere near that point. They have a lot invested in this guy.
Absolutely.
And once you make a move like that, it's very difficult to go back, right? So I think they're going to try to let Blake play his way out of this. And I think they probably should at this point in time with what they have invested in. Again, I'm not trying to write Blake's career off here. But – you can't sugarcoat what you're seeing from his play right now.
If this play continues, that question will just continue to build.
It will build up and build up until a point you say, you know what, enough is enough. I have to see something different. Even if I don't think it's necessarily better right now, I don't think we're at that point.
Yeah, we're a long way from that. But that question is going to come out this week.
Sure it will. And look, that's fair. I don't think that's unfair for fans around the National Football League. We see there are franchises that have drafted quarterbacks in back-to-back years high because they get a guy in. Again, I'm not suggesting – I'm not trying to talk draft and all these things. But
yeah, we're not talking draft.
No. That's where people's minds are going to go. We figured that's a position that they have locked out, and he will continue to grow and, rub down the rough edges and develop into the best quarterback he can be, and he's taken what appears to be a significant step back so far through six games. It's not the end of the season. It's not the end of his career, but it hasn't been good.
We'll come back. More of your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Final score of 33-16, the Raiders over the Jaguars. The Scoreboard Show continues after this on Jaguars Radio. The Scoreboard Show continues. Final score here in Jacksonville, 33-16. The Raiders are now 5-2 with a win over the Jags and fall to 2-4. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. A few scores. This is the Scoreboard Show.
Absolutely.
And there are some 4 o'clock games going on right now. The Falcons lead the Chargers 27-17. They've just started the second half in Atlanta. Falcons are 4-2 entering the day. The Buccaneers are in San Francisco, or Santa Clara, to face the 49ers. 17-14 the score. The Bucs with the lead. That is early third quarter. And it's almost halftime in Pittsburgh where the Patriots lead the Steelers 14-7. Tonight, Seahawks at the Cardinals. And then Monday night,
the Texans at the Broncos. Battle of 4-2 teams, and we're at the point where we're hoping the Texans lose. Lose often.
We're always at that point, aren't
we? Oh, yes, but certainly now the Jags are dropped another game.
We don't just hope, but we desperately need the Texans
to lose.
We're
past hope, and we have need.
I'm with you on that one. By the way, Pittsburgh looks like Henry Jones threw into the end zone. It should have been a touchdown. It was just dropped. They've got seconds left in the first half, and they're in the red zone, so they may will tighten up that score, 14-7, New England leading the Steelers right now. 355-NFL-1, the number. Zachary is in Mandarin, and he's next up here on the postgame show. Hello, Zachary.
Hello.
Hello, what's up?
Nothing, just mad we lost again.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is the reason? What can we do? What can they do?
Well, they need a better offensive line, and you can't put all the blame on Bortles if you don't have an offensive line, because you only have a couple of seconds to throw it. They need an offensive line.
Well, fair point. I think it's more in the run game than the offensive line. Blake Bortles, for the most part this year, has been upright compared to seasons past.
Big one
past.
Sack today, right? Khalil Mack got him on that third and five.
Right. The problem, though, is this is the offensive line. I mean, not that it's a problem. They feel like they've played well in the pass protection game this year. The run game, they got to work on some things and get that better up front, more consistent. But this is going to be the group.
Right. I'm not saying this is the best offensive line of the league, but I think what's happening is the pass rush is in Blake's head a little bit, and he's abandoning the pocket sometimes a little bit early. We saw instances of that last week as well. So, you know, maybe he's trying to get rid of the ball a little quicker than he needs to, or he's running out of the pocket when the pocket isn't collapsing. I think it's more – look, nothing's ever just one player. You're right about that, Zachary. The offensive line needs to be better. Every unit on this football team needs to be better, JP. You know, you're a 2-4 football team. Nothing is going exceptionally well. I thought Jalen Ramsey – look, he lost his cool in the end like a number of guys did, but I thought, what another performance that just shows you how good this – they didn't even think to look at Amari Cooper. As good as Amari Cooper is, they knew better than to come after Jalen Ramsey, and you're going to see this now for the rest of his career. Jalen Ramsey's just going to go take the top guy. I don't know if there is a top guy in Tennessee. You know what I mean? I don't know if there's one guy that you would say we have to lock him down and take him out of the offense. Maybe it's Delanie Walker, honestly.
It's Taylor Lewan after today.
Right, he cut the tackle eligible. But, Zachary, everybody, including that offensive line, needs to play better. Thank you for the call. 355-NFL-1. Jerome, out on the west side up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jerome.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Man, it's rough, yo. It's rough, man. You look at Jack and you look at Amari, but even though he got shut down by Ramsey, you still look at Derek, Mack, Nelson. I didn't really hear his name that much this today. But yeah, man, to see where they're at and to see where we're at, and it's just, oh man, it's and to see them come down here and do us like that, it's bad, man. It's bad. I don't know. I don't know what they're
going to
do,
y'all.
I really don't know.
Jaguar fans at a loss.
Yeah. That's the frustrating part. As we talked about before, they've drafted in similar spots the last 3 or 4 years. They've both gotten some free agent guys. Yeah, they had a coaching change in there. The Raiders did, so Jackson his second year there. But all the familiar faces coming back, this is maybe the start of where we realize which franchise could move forward and become the next real ascending team in the AFC. And the Raiders are very much ahead, if today's any indication.
Absolutely, and that's despite the fact that they had the worst defense in the National Football League. Yes. I think the Jaguars proved that their offense right now is worse than the worst defense is, because they could not consistently move the ball, put the ball in the end zone. The Raiders have been playing shootouts almost every week. They did have the 17-10 game against Tennessee, which actually won. But other than that, everybody's scoring 26 or more against them until today. But, you know, quarterback comparison right now, Derek Carr has a clear advantage over Blake Bortles. Khalil Mack is better, I think, than any certainly any pass rusher on this team, but any individual defensive player, as good as we think Jalen Ramsey's going to be. Khalil Mack was a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro at two different positions last year for the first time in league history.
Right.
It's kind of crazy. You know, Reggie Nelson had an interception late in the game. Reggie Nelson has not had a great year. They have a lot of name guys that you know on defense. Their defense has been terrible, but they're winning football games. They found ways to win close games. You could say, well, they're not as good as their record is. In the NFL, you are as good as your record is. They found a way to win those games, JP. They're 5-2. And again, if the playoffs were to start now, they'd have a bye in the first round, second only to New England in the AFC.
By far the largest margin of victory for Oakland this year.
Right, they've been winning
squeakers.
1-point
win, yeah, 7-point win, 1-point win, 3-point win, and today 33-16. We'll come back with more of your
More of your calls.
Easy for me to say. We're all choked up today after the Jags fall 33-16 to the Oakland Raiders. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And we continue with an injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We likely won't get a full disclosure on all these until tomorrow when Gus Bradley speaks with the media, but Roy Miller left the game with a right Achilles injury. No word on the severity. Colvin had a left toe issue during the game, and Rick Ballew at least was reporting that Cindric Marks late in the game was favoring his right knee or lower leg, but there was no further report on that. So, most notable, though, there, Roy Miller.
Absolutely.
Who left the game. Don't want to lose the services of the big nose tackle for the Jaguars. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. A couple of segments left here on the Scoreboard Show.
And if you are out of the 904 area code, add that right before that number, which several people have done so far this afternoon, JP. Let's go up to Pennsylvania next. Andy is on the line on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Andy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
I guess I kind of have like a whole little summary of my opinion so far with this season. And it dates back to last season. We saw a lot of the consistency issues with one week we come out and one element's playing great, then the next it's the opposite, and it's just a complete lack of consistency so far. And I'm trying to be optimistic, as much of our fan base is, I'm sure, and being so far away, that makes it even more difficult. But my question is, as an owner, with the record going the way that it's gone so far and the consistency, rather lack thereof, that we've seen so far, seeing a game like today where it got so out of hand, do you think that might be like the tipping point for no return for Gus?
Well, I mean, if you're asking is it the tipping point as in right now, immediately, no return, here's the thing. There are 10 games left in the season. I think Gus is going to play out the season regardless of what happens. Right, I just do, and I think Shad Khan will evaluate it. Put yourself in his shoes. He's a human being, right? He's a proud guy. He's been successful at everything he's ever done, JP. He's a guy that expects results, right? And he has shown patience. He's look, if I'm Shad Khan, I'm going crazy right now, honestly. And it's certainly understandable and justifiable. I mean, he has given this team everything they've asked for, given this regime in terms of you want to go out and spend money on guys. I've given you a great environment to play football in, giving you your fan base every reason to come out in the interim while you're getting up to speed and becoming a winning franchise. We've made the game day experience great. He's given them everything that they wanted. He demands and will demand ultimately results in return. I can't speak for Shad Khan what a tipping point, when a tipping point might be reached, but I know this, he can't be happy with what's going on.
And especially the way that it's gone down. Not just the lack of execution here or there, whatever. That's sometimes a player issue if you don't execute the plays they're called. But the penalties and the unsportsmanlike and just the way it looks on the screen and in person and just the feel of it is not good right now.
No, you're right. Look, the lack of discipline and
– that's, I think, the most telling thing.
And there's a difference between – all right, you're undisciplined if you consistently jump off sides. That's one kind of lack of discipline. What we saw today was a team – yeah, I get it. You're frustrated, man. Guess what? There are 32 teams in the league. 16 of them lose every week. There's some teams – you know, if you don't like the outcome, change it. Now, I get it when you're Malik Jackson – and you touch Derek Carr on the shoulders, and they call you for roughing the passer. ridiculous call in my estimation.
I agree.
You're not going to win that argument ever. And then it was almost, look, I'm not saying he was, but it's almost like he was asking at that point after he got the first one. Because you get another one on a made field goal attempt. What, you know, it's almost like he just let it. That's it.
I'm going to show you.
I'm taking this one all the way, and I'm going to get my second, and I'm out of here. And, you know, that to me is, you know, you're losing control of what's going on in your locker room, and it's showing up on the field. And I don't know if that's the case. Maybe the players don't feel that way. Maybe they feel that this is an isolated, you know, kind of aberration. I hope we don't see that kind of behavior out of the team anymore.
It's almost like the old baseball manager going off and, don't say that. Oh, you're
right,
gone.
You're
run.
Right. There's,
see
right.
You.
Exactly.
Go.
You reach a certain point, they'll let you push it to a certain point. Again, getting back to the original point of this call from Andy, Shad Khan, what owner wouldn't be frustrated at this point? He's shown incredible patience. You, as we all said, this is more frustrating because you had higher expectations for this year, and I thought, based on the talent of this roster, reasonably so. So, Andy, thank you for the call. We got to move on, and we'll go to Virginia. Next up is Carl here on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Carl.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Good.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Hey, I'm a former military. I did 24 years, but I've been Jags ever since the induction, you know, in 93-94. You know, I guess I just have a few comments. One, you know, when are we going to dictate, you know, how teams are going to play us? Example, you got Oakland last in the league with rushing, and it just seems like we play the way that the opponent wants us to play. When are we going to be unpredictable? I mean, we have to establish the run at some point. This is the game to do it. And just like Fred said earlier, you know, we seem like we always get ourselves in a rut before we even try to make attempts to do something different to actually come back. And then my second point is this, you know, being a loyal fan, okay, just like I'm sure there's thousands that are loyal. I mean, it makes it hard, you know. I mean, you get beat up constantly about having a good team. And honestly, I think this team is the best that it's been talent-wise since probably 2008, 2009. And the reason that I think that we're not playing to the level that we're supposed to is scheme, you know. I mean, it's like the definition of insanity. We're doing the same thing over and over again, but we're expecting different results. When is the scheme going to change? When are we going to be the dictator instead of being, I guess, you know what I mean?
When are you going to set the mark and enforce the mark? Right. I'm with you on that.
You're right.
But at what point? The players are responsible for this too, for not executing
the
scheme.
I don't think no one gets a pass here. All right, coaching. Players, nobody gets a pass right now, in my opinion. But I think you're right, JP. Your point is, all right, what do we get scheme-wise? If you're Greg Olsen right now,
what are you doing?
Right? You should have been able to dictate anything you wanted to today. Where you say they're giving up a bunch against the run, they were the worst against the pass in the league as well. You should be able to pick your mark and do anything you want offensively. And the question is, can you slow down a pretty good Raider defense? This should be, you know, strength on strength, weakness on weakness is what we talked about. Their weakness is apparently not nearly as weak. Their league worst defense is not as weak as what the Jaguars offense is currently putting out there right now, at least in terms of finishing drives. They had some drives today, couldn't punch them in. You know, and yeah, if you're Greg Olsen, your quarterback is off the mark as much as he's been. Your offensive line is opening no holes in the running game, even against the team. They had the one long run by Ivory. That's it. And Bortles had a couple of runs. Maybe you need to say, hey, big guy, you are a big guy. We're going to need you to run a little bit more, right? Use your wheels. Those back-to-back plays were about the best offensive continuity they had at any point in the first half today. So I don't think it's as simple as just saying, hey, we're going to go out and dictate. They should have been able to do that today. Right now, they don't seem capable of dictating anything offensively.
Nope.
So
that's frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
There's no doubt.
And I get it. Like Carl said, he is frustrated. Look, if we had one answer, if there's one thing that was going wrong every single week, week after week after week, it'd be a different story. And it's different things. And right now, there's really no one thing on offense. Marquise Lee had a good game, but that you know, I think if you force feed anybody the football enough, they probably put up some decent numbers. Nobody is playing well enough that they can say it's not my fault right now, in my opinion.
That's very fair. We'll come back and wrap up the scoreboard show. Final score, 33-16. The Raiders over the Jaguars. We'll wrap it up after this. The scoreboard show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars scoreboard show continues right now.
This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with a purchase of a sub, chips, and medium drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. That might be about the only positive from this game today. We're all eating subs, baby. Myers hit a 44-yard field goal in the third quarter. So if you're registered, you get a free medium sub.
The hot roast beef is delicious. There are a lot of delicious subs at Firehouse.
I like the
Thank you, Jason.
The New York Steamer.
There you go.
Yeah.
A lot of good options.
Yeah. So here we go. I mean, last few minutes here, we'll get to one more call before we go. But short week, man. Two days really to get it going.
I mean, honestly, don't you want to play right now? I mean, just to get that taste out of your mouth?
I'd wait a day.
All right, maybe a day. All right, but honestly, this probably is – look, there's no excuse. You got to go out there. Tennessee, they lost as well. Short trip. That shouldn't be an impact. Go win this game. And I look, I'm not trying to dangle false hope out there, but all they can worry about is win this game this week, get to 2-0 in the division, and see where everything else falls. Root for Denver on Monday Night Football at home against Houston, and if that happens, Houston's stuck on four wins going into next week. I don't even know who the Texans have next week. Doesn't matter. Beat the Titans next week, get to three. They'll have three. You've beaten the Colts head-to-head. You know, that's the best you can hope for right now. Just win this week, and worry about Kansas City when it rolls around.
Yep.
So
that's it.
Let's get back out to the West Side, JP. Our final call of the day is Sean at 355-NFL1. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, Dempsey. Hey, JP. How are y'all doing today, buddy? Hey, I just want to say it was kind of ugly and disappointing today. And I give the defense a AAA. And I know we don't need penalties like we got today, but I'm kind of glad the boys – I'd like to see that fire in them. I'd like to see them go ahead and get out of their system what was on them at the moment instead of trying to carry it over to the Tennessee game. Get it out of them. They did that. I've never been one to call and bash the team or the coaches because the Jaguars my team, and I'm going to be rooting for them next week regardless. And I never called on Gus about his coaching because I never thought it's been the coaching or the scheme, because Oakland runs some of the same schemes we did today with just about the same amount of time, and they had success with it. I've been sitting here watching the Patriots and Pittsburgh and a couple other teams running some of the same schemes, having success with no more time than that. And I don't mean nothing by this, and I know y'all probably won't agree, or probably nobody agree with me, it's just me, but I do have this right to have this opinion. I just feel like they need them calling Gus and Dave out on benching balls. We got to have a spark somewhere. I just don't believe that Blake right now is the quarterback, and if Gus and them, I'm calling them, I always call the team out on saying they need guts and determination and stuff. So the coach and his boss, I'm calling them out to have the guts to maybe set balls for one game. If they don't have enough believe in hitting in the other quarterback, then we're in more trouble than I thought we were. And I don't say that in a harsh way, and because I do love my Jaguars. I just see Blake. I've went back and watched films, and I see Blake. He throws the ball, and it's either to the right or to the left. The receivers have to dive for it all the time. Very seldom it's laid right in their hands. And they got away with that until people started realizing how good Robertson and Hearns was, and they started teaming up on them and taking away where they were able to jump, grab the ball, this, that, and the other. That's just my opinion, and I mean, you know, ill faults against Blake or nobody like that, but
we need, and there's blame to go around, you know, with everybody. I understand that, but I feel like Blake needs to set a game. Let's see what happens. And I'm calling Dave and Gus out on it.
So, Sean, we got it. We're at the point where it's due.
So you're calling Dave and Gus out? Is that what's
happening?
He's
calling Dave and Gus.
Oh, in a nice way, though.
No, he's saying he wants them to have the stones to sit him for a game. That's usually not how it works in the NFL. When you make that decision to sit your starting quarterback,
he's no longer the
starting
quarterback,
right? Yeah. And that's the way it goes. You have every right to hold that opinion. We could all see it. Blake's not playing great.
I did agree with the fact that a lot of the balls are behind receivers, or they have to twist or do some things they shouldn't naturally do to catch a football.
Absolutely.
And that's not good.
Look, he's not playing great. But if you say if they don't have enough faith in Henny or Allen, there's a reason they're the second and third stringers, right? Do you have more faith in the guy that's ahead of them? I don't think Chad Henney's shown anything in a Jaguar uniform that would get anyone any indication that you'd have more faith that he could go out there and win you a football game. He's a guy that should be able to get you in and out of the huddle, run the offense in case your quarterback goes down. That's, you know, typically what a backup quarterback does. Brandon Allen, I don't guess is anywhere near ready to play in the National Football League right now, is usually the case with a late-round draft pick rookie quarterback. So, unless you're ready to turn the page on Blake Bortles, I don't think they're ready to even entertain the thought of not playing Blake Bortles right now. And I'm not saying that you have an endless leash to play poorly in the National Football League or any other sport, JP, but I just don't think the coaching staff is at that point in time.
Get a nice taste of what the week's going to be like, Mike?
It's fortunately a short one, right? We got Jaguars today, 10 to noon. The next few days is certainly tomorrow. We'll take all your calls looking back on this one, and we'll talk with Loggy on Tuesday when he pops the film in. I think we all saw enough with our own eyes that it's not going to be good. And then get ready for the Tennessee Titans. It's coming up quick, and let's hope they can get the taste out of their mouth, because it'd be a lot nicer to go into that mini bye of 10 days coming off with W.
It would be. They have to have it now. There's no doubt about
that.
Have
to have it.
Well done, Mike. We'll talk to you this week.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt, Max Hockman, our entire crew. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening again. The final score for the final time, Raiders 33, Jaguars 16. This is the Scoreboard Show.